Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're in Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. This is just after the flood, And what I want to do is kind of rehearse a little bit of where we've been, and then we can talk about where we're headed. So the Bible begins where? In the beginning. What happens in the beginning? God created, right? So we get creation, and everything was good. God saw it, and it was good. And mankind was sinless. Did that remain? No, so that's called the fall. And we talked about that. I believe in the historicity of Adam and Eve. I believe in the historicity of the fall and the moral implications of the fall. That we aren't born as a blank sheet of paper. We're born sinful and as enemies of God. Now, what happens after that is, and we didn't talk about this a couple weeks ago, but the Bible says after the creation, there's 10 generations. If you read the first chapters of Genesis, it lists the names and all those unpronounceable names, right? This guy begets another guy, and a bunch of unpronounceable names. And it gets more and more sinful, right? As we go, worse and worse and worse. It gets so bad that God regrets having ever made us. And what does he say? I'm going to start over again. And so you get the flood. That's what this line is. And what I want us to get is, whoops, that didn't come out right. There's a part of world history that we're going to call the pre-flood world. People's longevities were much different from today. They were learning all kinds of technologies. They were doing all kinds of interesting stuff, but like I say, sinful and rebellious and getting terrible. Now, again, we accept the historicity of the flood, and not a local flood, a worldwide flood. What happened to the pre-flood world? Gone, right? It's erased. How destructive is water? Very. If you ever have water in your house, you know water is extremely destructive. The pre-flood world is erased, but for one thing. What does it cause? Fossils. The fossils that are dug up are testimony to the fact that the world was at one time submerged in water and animal life thrown everywhere and deposited wherever. Now, the flood has how many people on the boat?
Eight.
I love this. So I want us to talk about that part. Coming off the boat. There's eight people. Noah. Many of you know this old pastor joke. What is the name of Noah's wife? Joan. Think it out. Joan of the Ark. That's my best flood joke I got. I'm here all week. Anyway, Noah, Mrs. Noah, we'll call her since you guys didn't go for the Joan thing. Anyway, but that, yeah, Joan of Arc was French anyway. That's totally out of place. The sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. Now, there's a couple lovely things I want us to get out of this. This is a biblical truth, and I just want to be really, really clear to get it. How many races are there? There's one. Now, it's true that once people come off the boat and they scatter all over and populations get isolated from each other, differences start to emerge. So we tend to talk in terms of race, but how many races are there in fact? Just one, at the fact that everybody got off the same boat. Every single one of us. Every once in a while I hear somebody say, in fact, somebody was, I forget, was it in Elders last night or Sunday morning, somebody said everybody's related to each other through Adam, and that's true. But we're also related to each other through Noah, because the population narrows at this level. So this is why, by the way, people can marry whoever from wherever, right? We make a big deal about race and culture, and they're important, they're significant. But at the end of the day, there's one human race, all people are people. And all people, by the way, are redeemed, right? This is what the Bible says, is that Jesus came to save people of what? Every tribe, every nation, every language, right? So this is one of the things we want to get, that was the reality. And then I love this verse then in Genesis chapter 11. It uses this phrasing. How many people came off the boat? 8. And then it says this. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. Why? They're related to each other. All the people in the world, 8 of them, are speaking the same language. And what did they do once they came off the boat? They started to make more little ones, right? And they started to become populous. And they started to do what? They were supposed to move. In Genesis chapter 1, God gave Adam and Eve the command. What is it? Fill the earth and subdue it. God actually wants the cultures. God loves the variety. God loves the color and the diversity of human existence, right? So God said to them, I want you to scatter across the face of the earth. He said that in Genesis chapter 1, and in Genesis chapter 7, he said it to Noah again. It was 7 or 8, I'm forgetting now, Genesis 8 maybe. When he said, when you get off the boat, you know what I want you to do? Fill the earth. And what did they decide to do? Let's stay in one place. Now here's what I want us to get. When you're a kid, sometimes we're taught that the sin of the Tower of Babel is that they wanted to build a tower up into heaven. That's not the sin of Babel. It's just figurative. They're not trying to say, let's build a tower so that we can reach up toward God. That's not what they're saying. They're saying, we want to build a tower up into the heavens. What do they mean? It just means we want to make a really tall tower. People are still fascinated with tall buildings, right? Yeah, Dubai now has the tallest tallest building in the world. It has a name. I can't remember what it is. But I'm not going to guess. It'll be wrong. Renee and I, as you know, lived in the suburbs of New York City for many years. It's awesome. When you go to New York City, what do you see? Tall buildings. I've been in New York City when the clouds were low enough that you could not see the top of Freedom Tower. I've seen the thing stretch into the sky. And here's what the sin is. There's two. They say two things. What do they say? Let us build a tower. To do what? Let us make a name for ourselves. Is that not ever and always the human project? Let's make it about me. Let's make sure my name lasts, right? Who do we worship? Just God. And I do not know how we are always distracted about making an idol to ourselves. I'm going to put my name on this and my name on that and let Walt be praised. Ay, 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 are you kidding me? It says, let us make a name for ourselves. That's the sin. They're not building a tower into heaven. They're building a tall tower. So people see the tower and say, wow, those guys are something. But then this is the second thing they said. Lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. What did God tell them to do? Fill the earth and subdue it. And they said, we should build a tower. If we build a tower, what will people do? They'll throng here. So they said, let's build a tower so that we aren't dispersed. What's the sin of Babylon? Rebellion. And by the way, that's here. I don't want you to know this. Through the rest of the Bible, here it says Babel, and later its name is going to switch to Babylon. It's the same place. Whenever you read in the Old Testament, you read the word Babylon, what you need to think Babylon stands for is man's attempt to set himself up apart from God. Right? That is what Babylon means. Man's attempt to set himself up apart from God, apart from the will of God, apart from the word of God. We're going to go our own way and do our own thing. Does that sound familiar? We don't need God. We'll figure it out ourselves. That's what Babylon is. God sees it and says what? I do love this phrase. It's, by the way, this happens in the Old Testament a lot. God says, let us go down. Let who? Us. Singular or plural? Always. Genesis 1, let us make man in our image. Genesis 11, let us go down and see what they're up to. And God says, if they can do this, they're going to be able to do anything. And modern man has gotten pretty close to doing nearly anything, right? Nearly anything. Once you figure out how DNA works, now we're doing things we probably shouldn't be messing with. Remember those glorious days several years ago when we never heard the phrase gain of function? Wasn't that nice? We can do anything. We never ask should we. We just ask can we, right? God says, they're going to do anything. Let's go confuse their language. And he does. Now, a couple things I want us to know. Everybody was speaking one language here because there's only eight. They're all speaking together. The population is growing. And so God comes down and decides to confuse. And here's the funny thing, is language is weird, right? Everybody here speaks the same language. So it's the most natural thing in the world. Anybody here find English to be hard? Some of you, I know. Anybody find English spelling to be hard? Yes. Yeah, that's. We should have done better on that. You know, Ben Franklin wanted us to speak German. He might have been right about that. But anyway, German spelled right. But anyway, that's a sidebar. But it seems natural you to speak English. How long have you been listening to it? Your whole life. It seems natural. What does a foreign language sound like? It sounds garbled. It sounds like gibberish. So here's what happens. How many languages are there? Several thousand. Some spoken by hundreds of millions of people, some spoken by a few dozen people somewhere, right? But thousands of languages on the face of the earth. I want us to get this. This is where it emerges. But I want us to understand that since that time, languages have also changed, right? So this is the beginning of language. It's always funny. I love languages. You guys know it's hard to know where do languages come from. And the answer is they go back as far as you can go. And the more farther back you go in human history, there's languages and different languages and different alphabets and all. It's a mystery. Where does it come from? Well, the biblical answer is it comes from here. And then they've changed, right? The King James Version of the Bible was rendered in 1611. Does anybody speak that English anymore? Not really. Not really. I know my grandmother loved it, but she's with the Lord, so I don't think any of us really speak KJV. That's English, just four centuries ago. So God creates the languages here, and since that time there's been obviously a diversification of language based on people spreading across the globe, etc. I do think it's, again, a historical narrative, but I want us to close with something that I want us to know. I never can read Genesis 11 without my brain going to Acts chapter 2. Everybody know this passage? What happens in Acts chapter 2? The day of Pentecost. What happens on the day of Pentecost? I always love it that Jesus had said to people, go and make disciples. And what's the first word? Go. So I always think Acts chapter 2 is kind of funny. They will eventually go, but in Acts chapter 2, they actually are preaching to the nations, but in Jerusalem, right? They're supposed to go to the nations, but in Acts chapter 2, the nations have come to Jerusalem, and every year on the day of Pentecost, we read Acts chapter 2 in church, and I always wait to hear the lay readers wrestle with this passage. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit has descended on Jewish believers and has enabled them to speak what? Other languages. And as people listening to them, this is the hard part, verse 7, they were amazed, I'll read verse 7 to 11, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? This is the part that the readers wrestle with. How is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Who wants to read that next Pentecost? I did okay, right? We have some readers do pretty good. Here's what I always love to call this. Acts chapter 2 is reverse Babel. Because God has commanded people to fill the whole earth, so he loves the diversity. But he's also commanded the church to do what with the gospel? Take it out to the whole earth. And one of the things he gave on Acts chapter 2 was the ability to speak languages. And I always want to say this, what has he also given us? Bible translators. Bible translators. Bible translators are still on a constant basis saying, here's the scriptures in Hebrew and Greek, and we have to put them into English and German and French. Those are easy. But other languages and language groups that we've never heard of, and languages that are spoken by 24 people, and languages that were just discovered a few months ago, right? And people devote their entire lives to it. So the work of the church is to continue to do this. And I, by the way, I love this. They said, let's build a tower lest we get dispersed, right? God confuses the language. That's Genesis 11, verse 4. It says, let's not get dispersed. Genesis 11, verse 9 says, guess what? This is when God, guess what? Dispersed them. Same word. Same word. But here's a real fun part. Over in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit, the ability to preach the gospel to all nations, tribes, and languages. That's always the mission. What did the church want to do? Stay in Jerusalem. What moved the church out of Jerusalem? The persecution. The persecution of Paul made the church leave. And Acts chapter 8 says, and they were scattered. Guess what? Same word. Now, Hebrew is the Old Testament, but I looked this up. The Old Testament in Greek, the same word is used in Acts chapter 8 as in Genesis 11, 9 and Genesis 11, 4. The word is diaspora. God diaspora'd them. Genesis 11, 4, let's build a tower so we aren't scattered. Genesis 11, 9, and God scattered them. And Acts chapter 8, they were staying in Jerusalem, and so God sent a persecution, and they were scattered. What's the mission of the church? To scatter. The first word is always go. And then to take Christ to the nations, right? For whom has Christ died? All people. All people? Really? All nations? All tribes? All languages? All people. Yeah, that's the mission of the church. I think this happened. That's Genesis 11. That's, well, the pre-flood world, post-flood world. We live in it, and now we're living here and the consequences. So that's our job, to preach the good news to every tribe, language, and people. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.